Jema. So, we had thought of reading from Sri Aurobindo. We'll read something from Essays on the Gita. Just two things we must be clear, that Gita is written for the dynamic man. It's not like Sri Aurobindo will advise the same thing or Sri Krishna same thing to everyone. He says in the Essays on the Gita itself that he will not say to Sri Ramakrishna that you must go back and take a gun and fight. Basically, it's about following our own true self. So the Gita gives very good indicators, Swadbhava, Swadharma, all these things. Swadharma is how the divine is expressing himself in us. Each one has their own law of being, Swadharma. And Swabhava, the mode through which the divine expresses himself in each one. And we have to respect that, Swabhava and Swadharma. The Gita is also given largely to the kinetic man, and why it is so universal? Because primarily, the most of us are in that middle stage of kinetic man. Sri Aurobindo speaks about these three kinds of humanity or stages of development. One is the camel man. So camel man is one who has to bear the burden of everybody, everything. That's a stage of development needed at its own level. Second is the lion man. He says this is indispensable. You cannot pass from the camel man to the last stage without passing through the lion man. You have to learn to say yes or no. You have to learn to accept what is true and reject what is false. Otherwise, one cannot go beyond, cannot leap. And that obviously involves many aspects of life. Then third is the child man, where you are like a child full of that joy and laughter. But we have to go through that lion man phase, and much of humanity needs that and will continue to need it. Therefore, the relevance of the Gita. There is another question associated which I'll also take up before I read the passage. That if I follow Krishna, think of Krishna, meditate upon Krishna, or am I asked to follow mother, think of mother, meditate upon the mother? The logic is that Sri Krishna says in the Gita that he has also come from the divine. He is the divine who has taken a certain form. That's the only difference. And Sri Aurobindo and Sri Krishna, there is such a beautiful relation between him and Sri Krishna. So it's very easy to answer this question at one level. Step one, everything comes from the divine. Not only Sri Krishna and Sri Aurobindo, you, me, stone, everything. This is one truth, very profound truth. But there is a truth of difference. Stone comes from the divine. So does the river. Okay, so there is a truth of difference. Both we must know. Truth of oneness and truth of difference. That's how the Isha Upanishad reveals. Vidyancha avidyancha yast dvedo bhayam saha. Avidyancha mrityum tirtva vidyancha amritam ashnute. So we must know that yes, all comes from the divine, and Sri Krishna is very special. He is an avatar of the divine. And at the same time, we must know that all creation comes from the divine. In a deeper sense, all of us are that. This is also true. Yet there is a truth of difference. So what is the truth of difference? It's true that Sri Krishna is an avatar. So is Lord Rama. So is Narsingh avatar. So is Matsya avatar. And so is Sri Aurobindo. Does it mean all is same? Our common sense will give the answer. If all is same, there is no need for any progression of avatars. It is a very beautifully mother has said, in the eternity of becoming, each avatar is the forerunner of a more perfect future realization. Yet mankind has a tendency, she is explaining it beautifully, mankind has a tendency to worship the avatar of the past in opposition to the avatar of the future. But tomorrow reveals the truth of the purpose. So again, we must understand the principle. Nobody, what people should do is their business. Each one should have freedom of choice. That's what our whole Sanatana Dharma is. But we must know the difference. All is same as spoiled the whole multiplicity of or diversity of creation. Sri Krishna is an avatar. Sri Aurobindo is an avatar. Sri Rama is an avatar. So does it make a difference whichever way we go? Now here comes the difference. Each brings a certain angle of the divine vision. Sri Rama brings the highest ideal of a sattvic man, of the illumined mind, what it can do. He has taken that as his operating system. And those who want it or those who are needed, because the animal cannot leap to Sri Krishna, he has to first go through Sri Rama. So Sri Rama becomes the natural choice, and which is perfectly fine. But we are not rigid sectarians. So what about Sri Krishna? Sri Krishna takes us beyond the illumined mind, beyond the sattvic mind, towards a greater freedom. Triguna Atita Bhava Savya Sachi. That's his message, great message. His message is of Jivan Mukta while doing all these activities. It's a great message, wonderful preparation. If we can really follow the teachings of the Gita, it prepares us. Prepares us for what? For the next level, which is Sri Aurobindo. So what is the difference? They are one and same. But the difference is Sri Krishna, at the end, he teaches us the way of being engaged in works in the world and yet being free. This is, I'm just saying in one. So if that is our goal, that while being engaged in the world, I want to be free, there is nothing greater or better than Sri Krishna. Because it's complete. Sri Rama doesn't give you that kind of freedom. He teaches us how to regulate everything by the enlightened Buddhi. And you see where Sri Rama and Sri Krishna begins. First step of the yoga is the enlightened Buddhi. And where Sri Krishna and Sri Aurobindo begins. Now comes the third. So if I want this, Sri Krishna is enough. But I may be seized, I is a general I, with a much greater impulse, which Sri Krishna passingly hints in the Gita, Lok Sangrahart. Where is this caravan of human being going? Where is this creation tending towards? Is it only towards my personal moksha while living in the world? Or there is a greater plan, a greater purpose? That's where Sri Aurobindo now comes in. Not only he reveals us intellectually the greater purpose, I mean to our intellectual mind, but shows us the way how we can be part of that greater purpose, how we can realize that purpose. That Sri Krishna cannot give, because that's not his work here. He is also divine. So is Sri Aurobindo divine. And in a certain sense, we all are divine. Sounds very strange, but it's true. I may not realize it, but Sri Krishna and Sri Aurobindo have realized. But avatar is a very special work. Avatar is meant to take creation to another level. So Sri Krishna came to take this world from the illumined, sattvic mind and enlightened Buddhi to the level where we can be inwardly completely free while being engaged in action, following the divine will and fulfilling it. But then Sri Aurobindo brings in the collective dimension, wither mankind, not just my problem, wither mankind, wither earth. So there he brings in this aspect of the next level or the greater development, the supramental transformation. So now the answer will be very simple. Whom should I meditate upon? We can meditate upon all. That's okay. That's our business. But we should be clear what we want from the divine, from ourselves, from life. What is my aim? That's why the first thing needed is aspiration. What is my aspiration? And it's very simple. Everybody is selling 24 karat jewelry. You are going there. And yet you have something specific in mind. Do we go to a diamond shop or a gold shop and say, "Amko gold chahiye ya diamond chahiye," and he will give you? No, you are looking for something. You may be looking for a kangan, which you may not find. So it's very important, what is my aspiration? That connects us with the form through which it will be fulfilled. That is the whole purpose of the avatar and the form. If my need or aspiration is individual moksha, there are plenty of paths which can grant me that. There are different ways. If I want to take sannyas way, this way, that way. But if I say I want moksha, but I want to be in the world, then Shri Krishna comes in. He says, okay, I'll give you that. This is a little more difficult, but I'll make it easy for you. But if my urge is that it's not just moksha that I want, it's there. In Bhagavad, there is a prayer like that. If there is this greater urge that why this world, this tam jam, mela jamela, this brilliant wilderness of the stars, is there a greater purpose to creation itself, not about my life? Where is it going? What is its consummation? Does it come to a luminous close with I have attained mukti or somewhere else? Then, whether I like it or not, or in fact, inevitably, we'll go to Sri Aurobindo. Because he alone answers, he alone fulfills. So each one must understand, again, what we do individually is a different matter. But if we want the yoga of transformation, if, and behind the if is the aspiration, then it is the mother. Sure, Shri Krishna and Sri Aurobindo are same, but Shri Krishna is not giving us yoga of transformation. We must be very, very clear about it. They are same. But Shri Krishna will say, I can grant you this. If you go to Lord Rama, he can grant us something. In the manifestation, if you want to go out of manifestation, it's a different story altogether. But as we read, the heroic souls want to labor here. That's what we see in Savitri, those lines. But if we want the collective emancipation of mankind, if we somewhere believe that mankind, it cannot be the last word of the creativity of the creator, because it's so absurd. If man is the ultimate product of the creator, then at least my logical conclusion was his creativity is suspect. We all know what we are, isn't it? So if we want something else, something more, something greater, not only for myself but for earth and mankind, then Shri Krishna, Sri Aurobindo comes. So while they are same, truth of sameness, truth of difference, both are important. Then it's our choice whom we meditate upon. We are not evangelist or proselytizing people who know Hindu based this thing is. We believe in multiplicity, diversity, we celebrate it. But for the path, this must be very clear. With that background, we were thinking of reading something from Essays on the Gita, because this is a mantra, very powerful. Personally, it has had a great impact on me. And it's a meditation with Sri Aurobindo, one of those powerful, one can say. And it shows us the way to the warrior soul. And as I said, it's very, when you have entered into the state of the child man, it's different. But we are still the warrior soul. So we continue. So we are the, with that, for that warrior soul of life, this is the meditation which applies to all of us. It should be read, reread, imprinted, put on everywhere, put on our heart. This is the path that Shri Krishna is showing us. Sri Aurobindo is showing us through the writing of Shri Krishna. So we are reading it because we had not decided that the topic will be yoga of transformation. It was how to live life beautifully, and Shri Krishna helps us that. The reading, Essays on the Gita. It is the creed of the Aryan fighter. Aryan is not a race, as the English people told us. It's not a North Indian versus Dravidian. Aryan comes from the root Ar, the warrior, the inner warrior. Just like in Japan, we have the samurai, the inner warrior. He fights the inner battle and the outer battle also, which is part of this whole life. Nobody can advance further without fighting outer battle, because outer battle, small or big, implies choices. Those who do not choose, they die. You cannot say, I'll just continue, someday something will happen on its own. You have to make a choice. So the Aryan is someone who makes a choice. And what is his creed? It is the creed of the Aryan fighter. Know God. First step is know God. We must know what God is. It says, know thyself, help man Protect the right. Do without fear of weakness or faltering thy work of battle in the world. Tonic can make a dead person alive. Do without fear or weakness or faltering thy work of battle in the world. What should be our background? My surname, my lineage? Nay. What is he reminding us? Thou art the eternal and imperishable spirit. Thy soul is here on its upward path to immortality. Life and death are nothing. Sorrow and wounds and suffering are nothing. For these things have to be conquered and overcome. Lot of deviation in life takes place because we want to avoid certain problems. We don't want to go through. There is a very interesting Shobindo, third chapter of the Mother. To walk through life, armored against all fear and peril and disaster. He's not saying to walk away from life. It's to walk through life. Look not at thy own pleasure and gain and profit. This is the worst kind of mankind, which is only thinking of mera kya fayda hoga. Actually, it is not even human. Not even animal. What were they called in ancient times? The Rakshasa and the Asura. They thought only about their own benefit. Mujhe khane ko kya milega? Mera aaram kahan milega? This is the type of humanity. So he says, do not follow that path. Look not at thy own pleasure and gain and profit, but above and around. Above at the shining summits to which thou climbest. Around at this world of battle and trial, in which good and evil, progress and retrogression are locked in stern conflict. Men call to thee, Aryan warrior. This should be the heroism and leadership which the divine demands of us. Men call to thee, their strong man, their hero, for help. Help then, fight. How powerful this is. Destroy when by destruction the world must advance. But hate not that which thou destroyest. Destroy when by destruction the world must advance. But hate not that which thou destroyest. Neither grieve for all those who perish. Know everywhere the oneself. Know all to be immortal souls and the body to be but dust. Do thy work with a calm, strong, and equal spirit. Fight and fall nobly or conquer mightily. This is what India once was. Fall nobly, like Abhimanyu. He became immortal by his death. Fall nobly. Or conquer mightily, like Bhima, who says, if you had 200 sons, oh Mother Gandhari, I would have killed all of them. This is Indianness. Fall nobly or conquer mightily. For this is the work that God and thy nature, this is where Swabhava and Swadharma comes. For this is the work that God and thy nature have given to thee to accomplish. References, Essays on the Gita, and the name of the chapter is The Creed of the Aryan Fighter. We can read a passage from Baji Prabhu because it's going with that. Somebody had requested, I was thinking when to read it, but after this, wahi le sakte hain. उसके बाद ही सब करेंगे. बाजी प्रभु, वी ऑल नो, इज अ स्टोरी Not that film Bajirao Mastani, for God's sake. I don't know, Bollywood has mastered the art of cheating, deceiving. Whoever Bajirao Mastani was. But Baji Prabhu is the man who single-handedly saved the fort of Shivaji with some 20 odd men or 50 odd men against an army of 20,000. Army of Mughals, Pathans, Afghans and Rajputs. And he was waiting. I've been to that fort where you... And he has to wait till Shivaji comes with his artillery, guns and everything. And he saves the fort from morning till dusk. And he waits. Then he sees Shivaji is... Now the trumpets and all this is happening. And then he has sent the one of the generals that you find out. So when he is coming, he knows that now Shivaji is coming, and then he falls. Falls where? In Bhavani's lap. And then Shivaji comes and he says that I can never recompense this loss. So it's a very long poem. I have done it actually as a full reading in... it's available on Aroma because one of my favorites. I have a very personal experience with this poem. When once I had a very severe attack of dysentery within some 2 hours, some 18-20 times, and I was admitted in ICU, officers ICU in Command Hospital, Bangalore, and like bura hal. So my friend who knew pediatrician, so he came and said, Alok bhai, क्या पढ़ो? मैंने कहा बाजी प्रभु. He read for half an hour. I was up and about, sitting and everything. जान दे देता है मुर्दे के अंदर. So I'll just this background, then we'll just read some passages. So I have a very personal connect with this poem. So I'll just read from few places. So it starts with where Baji tells that, look here, Tanaji Malsure. It's not that other movie. Other movie is about Tanaji Malsure. So here that Tanaji Malsure comes. So he tells him, you go and see. You bring help because we need now. There is hardly anyone. So what does Baji answer? First, Tanaji Malsure tells him, what ponders then the hero? Such a man of men, he needs not like us petty swords. He says, you bring, don't worry. He's with his sword. A force behind him, but alone will hold all Rajasthan and Agra and Kabul from rise to set. And Baji answered him. He said, he's the hero who is going to hold. I know that. So what does Baji answer him? Tanaji Malsure, not in this living net of flesh and nerve, nor in the flickering mind is a man's manhood seated. God within rules us. So powerful. God within rules us. This is the cult of the hero. God within rules us. Who in the Brahmin and the dog can, if he will, show equal Godhead? Not by men is mightiness achieved. Baji or Malsure is but a name, a robe. These are teaching of the Gita. And covers one alone. We but employ Bhavani's strength. Iske baad kya kar sakte hain? We but employ Bhavani's strength, who in an arm of flesh is mighty as in the thunder and the storm. I ask for 50 swords. He says, I don't want an army. Just fetch 50 people. That's all I need. What a... Who is on the other side? 20,000 army of Afghans, Pathans, all seasoned warriors. I asked for 50 swords and Malsure. Now he knows what his choice means. Well, Baji, I will build thee such a pyre as man had never yet when we return. For all the Deccan brightening shall cry out, Baji the Prabhu burns. He says, I know. You are sacrificing your life. So all that I can promise you, when I come back, I'll build for you a chita. It'll be so high that whole Deccan will see that this is Baji's chita. And with a smile, the Prabhu answered. What is he answering? Me thou shalt not burn. See the teaching of the Gita. He knows what is he here for. He says, me thou shalt not burn, for this 5 feet or more of bone and flesh, whether pure flame or jackals of the hills be fattened with its rags, may well concern others, not Baji Prabhu. And the chief, see, this was the spirit of ancient India till Mayavad finished it. He says, and the chief with a high calmness in his shining look. Look what he's saying. They are parting. Best of friends who have grown up together, fought the great battle. Now he's knowing that he's going to die. What is he saying? With a high calmness in his shining look. We part, O friend. But meet again we must. Now where is he going to meet? But meet again we must. When from our tasks released, we both shall run like children to our mother's clasp. He took from his wide brow the princely turban sewn with agate diamond crowned, and on the head of Baji set the gleaming sign, then clasped his friend, and followed by the streaming host that gathered from the rear to farther hills, rode clattering. By the Mughal van approached, Baji and his Marathas, soul remained washed by the mountains in the silent gorge. What is the parting message? He's saying, we'll meet. Where we'll meet? He's going to die. We'll meet there. In the bosom of the Divine Mother. We'll clasp each other. This is the heroism that India needs today. Not all that, you know, we are sitting in and doing tamasha. This is the heroism which once rejuvenated. It was there in Bharatvarsh. And this is where Sri Aurobindo is inviting us. So then there is a fight which takes place. Amazing. But I'll come toward the last bit. Okay. So this fight description is amazing. It's so real. I can assure you no television can capture it on the screen. It describes in detail. Just like in Achilles Ilion, he describes the fight. Just like it is described in Vyasa's Mahabharata. You've seen the serials. I can tell you that the way it is described in Mahabharata, serial looks like a travesty. So, now, I'll come to that last bit. Now, toward the end, it is coming. But to the Prabhu came with anxious eyes the captain of the band, Baji, he cried, the bullets fail. All the great store we had of shot and powder by unsparing use is spent, is ended. The bullets have ended. And all this army is coming up. And Baji Prabhu turned. One look he cast upon the fallen men, discernible by their attire, and saw his ranks not greatly thinned. One look below upon the hundreds strewing thick the gorge, and grimly smiled. Then where the sun in fire descending stooped towards the vesper verge. What a language. Sun is stooping toward the vesper verge. How is describing color? He gazed and cried. What is he telling his men? Make iron of your souls. Make iron of your souls. Yet if Bhavani wills, strength and the sword can stay our nation's future from overthrow till victory with Shivaji returns. He said, bullets are not there. Doesn't matter. Take out the strength. Take out the sword. And in the name of Bhavani, Jai Bhavani, fight. And so they waited without word or sound, and over them the silent afternoon waited. The hush terrestrial was profound, except the mountains and the fallen men. No sight, no voice, no movement was abroad. And then, slowly, came once more pouring, resolved at last, the stream of Mughal war came once more pouring. Not the broken rout of Pathans, not discouraged Rajput swords, who were already broken by him, but Agra's chivalry glancing with gold, and scimitars inlaid and colored robes, swiftly they came expecting the assault, fire winged of bullets and the lethal rain. But there are no bullets. They expected, as they are coming up, that bullets will rain. So they are coming quietly. But silence met them, and to their intent, so ominous it seemed. A while they paused, fearing some ruse, though for much death prepared. Because they don't know. They are expecting bullets. But bullets are over. So they are waiting to ambush. So he's saying, but they are coming this way. No bullets sped. No musket spoke. Unhurt, they crossed the open space. Unhurt, they climbed the rise. But even as their hands surprised the shrubs that fringe the vantage, swords unseen hacked at their fingers, through the bushes thrust lances from warriors unexposed bore through their bosoms. From behind the nearest lines pressed on to share their fate, and still the sea of men bore onward, till with violent strain they reached the perilous crest. What is happening? They are hidden behind the bushes. And as they come up, they chop their hands and thrust the lances in their heart. More and more come, because it's like a sea which is swelling. And here is Baji Prabhu with his handful of men guarding them. The sudden few, small was the space for fight, and meeting strength with skill and force with soul, the strong and agile keepers of the hills, Marathas, prevailed against the city dwelling hosts. Oh, he describes. With covert and the swiftly stabbing blades, overpowering the feints of Agra schools, so fought they for a while. Then suddenly upon the Prabhu all the goddess came. Now Bhavani is completely overtaken him. Loud, like a lion hungry on the hills, he shouted, and his stature seemed to increase, striding upon the foe, because now Bhavani has occupied him fully. She asked for that Namunda Malini, this sacrifice she asked. Who is ready to give his whole life? He shouted, and his stature seemed to increase, striding upon the foe. Rapid his sword, like lightning playing with a cloud, made void the crest before him. On his other side, the swordsmen of the south, with swift assault, preventing the reply, till like a bank of some wild river, the assault collapsed over the stumbling edge and down the rise. So this is how the battle goes on. And then once more they came and almost held. Then wrath rose in the Prabhu, and he raised himself in soul, because body is failing now. So he raised himself in soul. to make an end. But even then, so he decides, now it's harakiri. He wants to, this is last bit. He rises in soul. His body is struggling, but still. His stillness fell upon his mood and all that godlike impulse faded from his heart. And passing out of him, a mighty form stood visible, titanic, scarlet clad, dark as a thunder cloud with streaming hair. Kali, this sword, the flower, the boon, the bleeding head, Bhavani. Then she vanished. The daylight was ordinary in a common world, and Baji knew the goddess formidable who watches over India till the end. Unki santaan hai hum. Darte hai? Just imagine. Even then a sword found out his shoulders. Sharp, a Mughal lance ran grinding through his arm. Fiercely around him gathered in a knot the mountaineers. But Baji with a groan, Morodesh Pandey to the other side, hasten of the black gorge and bring me word. Rides any from the west, or canst thou hear the Raigar trumpets blow? I know my hour is ended. Let me know my work is done. What a David. What a my hour is ended. All that I need to know is work is done. This is the metal of which we Bharatvasi are made. Ye inka khoon hai hamare nason mein. Ye sab nahi ye jo ulti pulti cheeze hum chale gaye sanyas leke udhar. Ashram is not a sanyas. It's a grim battle, by the way. Much strong battle than you can fight. When you have gone through this outer battle, now you are ready for the inner battle, then the ashram works. Ashram is not a retreat into, okay, life is very difficult, let me just go quietly. If you come, you are now facing an inner battle. Yes, that's the truth. Vishwabindu has spoken about it. Mother would say, if you are dissatisfied by life, if you are afraid, then don't come here. That's the whole purpose. He spoke and labored high the slogan loud. What is the slogan loud? Jai Bhavani. That is the slogan. Desperate, he labored in his human strength to push the Mughal from the gorge's end with slow compulsion. By his side fell fast Maratha and Mughal, and on his limbs the swords drank blood. A single redness grew his body, yet he fought. Where can you can ever do it on the real screen also? His body becomes like tilak Bhagwan ke mathe par. It has become red, bleeding with the swords. His body, yet he fought. Then at his side, ghastly with wounds, and in his fiery eyes, death and rejoicing, a dire figure stood, Morodesh Pandey. What does he say? Baji, I have seen the Raigar lances. Baji, I have heard the trumpets. Conquering with his cry, the din. What does it mean? When this happens, there is a lot of commotion going on. Na? Usual battle, isko maro, usko maro. Baji, ek cry uski jo hoti hai, wo sari din ko shant kar. Matlab, this is such a leonine thing. Conquering with his cry, the din, he spoke. Then dead upon a Mughal corpse, fell prone, Morodesh Pandey, because he is also. And Baji with a gruesome hand, wiping the blood from his fierce staring eyes, saw round him only 15 men erect of all his 50. But in front, behind, on either side, the Mughal held the gorge. Now he knows Shivaji is coming. Out of 50, 15 are left. And he is badly wounded. Totally gone. Groaning once more, The grim Maratha turned, and like a bull with lowered horns that runs, charged the exultant foe behind. With him, the desperate survivors hacking ran, and as a knife cuts instantly its way through water, so the yielding Mughal wall was cleft and closed behind. Just imagine. 8 men alone. How he's describing? Out of 15, 7 gone in that process. 8 men alone stood in the god's narrow end, not one unwounded. There were hardly 3 abreast have room to stand. They faced again the foe, and from this latest hold, Baji beheld, mounting the farther incline, rank on rank, a mass of horsemen galloped far in front. Some 50 horse, and on a turbaned head, bright in the glory of the sinking sun, a jeweled aigret blazed, and Baji looked over the wide and yawning field of space, and seemed to see a fort upon a ridge, Raigar. Now Shivaji is coming, 50 horsemen, you know, he sees. Man after man, man of the Maratha fell, till only 3 were left. He sees them coming, and now only 3 are left. Then suddenly, Baji stood still and sank upon the ground. Quenched was the fiery gaze. He drops fighting. Nerveless the arm, Baji lay dead in the unconquered gorge. Look at the description. He has died, but the gorge has been unconquered. It doesn't allow the enemy to pass, because he has seen now Shivaji coming. But ere he fell upon the rocks behind, the horse hoofs rang, and as the latest left of the 100 died, the bullets throng. This is now Shivaji's bullet. Through the 2 narrow mouth and hurled those down who entered, clamorous, exultant, blared the southern trumpets, Deccan, warriors, Shivaji's. But with stricken hearts, the swords of Agra back recoiled, fatal upon their serried, unprotected mass. In hundreds from the verge, the bullets rained, and in a quick, disordered stream, appalled, the Mughals' rout began. Sure-footed, swift, the hostile strength pursued. Suryaji first, shouting aloud and singing to the hills a song of Ramdas, as he smote and slew. Now they have come. But Shivaji, by Baji's empty frame, stood silent, and his gaze was motionless upon the dead. Tanaji Malsuri stood by him and observed the breathless corpse, Baji's corpse, then slowly said, 33 the gates by which thou enterest heaven. Thou fortunate soul. See, this is how we looked at fortunate soul. Veer gati ko prapt hua. Yani, oh, bichare ke saath kya hua? Fortunate soul. Ye to rare hai. Thou fortunate soul. Thou valiant heart. So when my hour arrives, may I too clasp my death, saving the land, or winning some great fortress for my lord. This is the spirit, the Aryan spirit. And sometimes when you see this and you see people, selfishness, swarth, choti choti cheeje, paisa kitna milega, lagta hai kahan girke. This is not what India that we know. This is India. It lives in the spirit of these things. And one day this India is going to rise. It is rising and will conquer the world, not for India, but for God, for His work, for His truth to manifest, for His love. Not the way the others have tried of converting, no. But the truth of the Sanatana Dharma, once again, that your life is a sacrifice, and it's not just for yourself that you live, but for the greatest good, the good of all, the good of mankind, and above all, to fulfill God's will upon earth. Okay, Jai Ma. Ma, Ma. Ma. I'll read. Nahi, aa jayega wo. It'll be fine. Thank you. Okay, 2 minutes, then we'll read the questions. We have time.